We used to get in school what was called the weekly reader. And it would be like a newsletter that some company would send out to schools. And it was a little news and information, little news thing that we would read as kids and as youngsters. And I remember reading once about some kind of experiment done with plants and electrodes. And it had to do with ripping one plant to shreds, killing it. And they were watching the electrodes of the other one. And I have been fascinated with the subject ever since. Ever since.
No, this actually involved a class of polygraph examiner trainees who were attending our school. And this is way back years ago, back in New York City when our lab was there and our school was there. And they had two philodendron plants, and they hooked one of the philodendron plants up with the galvanic skin response section of the polygraph. And that is what I was using during all my earlier research with plants. And they were, and the first thing they did before they even hooked the one plant up is that they destroyed one of the two plants. They sort of stomped and mutilated
right.
it. And I didn't really know this was going on, or I probably have allowed it to happen until I found out just after. But then they hooked up the other plant, and each of these students, there were about nine of them in the class at the time, came through one at a time with separation between their entry into the room where the second philodendron was hooked up. And when the person came through that actually mutilated the plant, the recording of the other plant showed a big reaction.
I've never forgot that story, never. And I've used it on every talk show that I've been on, Cleve, for
right?
years right now, because there's got to be something to it. As a matter of fact, I also used to say whenever I would do interviews with people from PETA, the people for the ethical treatment of animals, you know, where they always advocated eating vegetables instead of meat.
Right.
I would always say, well, how do you feel about vegetables? And they said, well, of course you have to eat vegetables. And I would always relate this story, and they'd go dead silent. They wouldn't know what to say after that.
Well, you know, it's really no threat to vegetarians because plants, actually, I don't think humans or most animals could think of actually sacrificing a piece of their body for consumption by someone else. But with plants, the leafy part of the plant especially, if somebody does not consume it and let it be part of their perhaps higher consciousness, perhaps, I said, it's going to go into the compost heap and just be, you know, it's going to rot.
Yeah.
So the plant leaf may actually be happy to be consumed by humans, but there is no real equivalent of that in animal life.
Now, your book, of course, is called Primary Perception. Tell me,
yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, primary perception really is a term that I introduced that actually comes before the basic senses, the five basic senses. And I was in a conversation, through a correspondence, rather, with J.B. Ryan,
who
was very active back at that time.
Out of Duke, right?
Yes, he was Duke, and then he went across the fence and left Duke and started his own private foundation, which he had for years. And he had, we were questioning whether this was extrasensory perception or not. I said, I don't think it's extrasensory because it comes before the other basic senses. So it would be very primary, it would be very basic even before the extrasensory aspect comes in or the five basic senses. So it was so basic, and again, my research has sort of followed through to show this is true. I'm getting a reaction. Actually, any kind of life form, a vegetable, fruit, whatever, by hooking two small electrodes to whatever you're testing, and piping it in, now we're using the equivalent of EEG-type components. And all you're doing is magnifying a very, very subtle microvolt charge that comes from all of these living things. And by magnifying it and displaying it, there are huge reactions in everything.
Oh, wow, there's just so much to talk with you about today. Hey, and by the way, also, I'm going to give you a little broadcaster's tip here. Just when you're ready to clear your throat, move your mouth away from the phone because you blast my ears when you
I've got a sign up in front of me that says, reduce throat clearing.
Exactly. And if you do, just turn your head a little bit away from the phone and you'll be fine.
Okay.
biocommunication research. Tell me how you got into that.
Well, back in New York City, I was director of a school teaching lie detection, And in my laboratory, we had two plants that the secretary had bought because the plant store was going out of business in the ground floor in this building. One was a rubber plant, and the other was a Dracaena cane plant, a small Dracaena cane plant. And I had done saturation watering of the two plants, and I became very curious as to how long it took water to get from the basic soil after a saturation watering of the Dracaena cane plant up through that long trunk and out into those long leaves. That's also called the corn plant. It's a very popular decorative plant.
Right.
And so I thought, well, gee whiz, I've got my polygraph equipment that has one component, namely the galvanic skin response, that should measure the resistance changes. And if I were to put electrodes on each side of the end of one of these leaves, as contaminated water arrived, it should be a better conductor, and I should be able to see this on a recording. I should see the tracing go upward. And so I balanced the thing in, and I was able to. It fell within the resistance range of the equipment at the time, and I was getting a running record. In fact, in the book, that original tracing is right on the cover of the book. And I tried different things. First thing I noticed is about a minute through the recording, the contour of the tracing showed me something that was very similar to a human reacting on a polygraph when they were telling a lie to a relevant question. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. If this plant wants to show me human-like reactions, what can I do to threaten its well-being? Which, of course, in a polygraph examination, if a person is lying when you say, did you fire that shot that caused the death of so-and-so, when that question is asked.
Oh, the thing, the meter goes nuts.
Oh, yeah, you're really threatening the well-being. So I tried a couple different things. I tried putting a neighboring leaf in a cup of warm coffee, and the plant showed me something that with humans would be boredom. It showed a downtrending of the tracing. And then I thought around 13 minutes and 55 seconds in this first recording, I thought, I know what I'll do. I'm going to burn that leaf. And I didn't have matches with me. I wasn't touching the plant. I wasn't touching the instrumentation. And the second that imagery of fire and the burning of the leaf entered my mind, the tracing went right up off the top of the and you can see that on the cover of the book. You see that tracing goes up, hits the pen, pen stops. Well, and right away, at that moment, I could really envision the importance of this. I thought, wow, it's just as though that plant read my mind.
Yeah.